All right, Pettycast time. Text them in. 713-572-4610. What's got you feeling petty these days? I was like starting with a good bit of New York pettiness.
Boy,
I don't even have Nick Turturro in this one, Seth. We played him yesterday.
Are we setting our sights on the Yankees, the Giants, or the Jets? I'm guessing the Yankees.
It's Yankees. It's baseball season, so let's do the Yankees.
I wouldn't set my sights on the Mets. I just generally feel like even when they have success.
Even when they're good, I'm like, oh. Okay.
I know how it's going to end. Yeah,
I'm the same way. All right. This was Jeff Passan, who had this to say on a podcast. This was his message to Yankee fans.
It's also why when I hear Yankees fans complain, I'm like, shut the f*** up. Would you rather have a team that is competitive every year and might not win a championship, or a team that stinks? Would you rather be a Yankees fan or a Pirates fan?
All right. So
All right, can I be petty towards Passan?
Yeah, anything, yeah.
That's not a fair comparison. It's like, would you rather be this team or the worst team in the league?
Yep.
Like, all right, obvious. Are there no degrees to this, Passan? I think you know why Yankees fans get upset?
Yeah. It's
because they do, at the very least, as limited and dull and idiotic as they might be. They understand that their team perennially spends more money than anybody else, or at least than the vast majority of teams in the league.
Yeah.
That they've seen so much regular season success not be parlayed into postseason success.
Yeah.
That, you know what, Passan, it's not as, you can't make life as simple as, oh, you should be happy. You should be happy. You should be happy that you're bankrupt because you don't have stage 4 brain cancer.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, wait. I'm allowed to want more.
I like that. I find it very hard to take sides in this thing because I'm not a huge Passan guy, but I'm not a big Yankee fan either.
I'm being petty towards Passan too, because Passan is not a swear word guy.
Yeah.
I think he consciously decided to swear there.
You think?
The same way Mike McDaniel, when he swears, you're like, all right, you're going for something here.
Yep.
I get it.
All right, so Greg Giannotti, who is the co-host of Boomer Esiason on our sister station on WFAN, they do mornings up there, responded to Passan on behalf of Yankee fans.
Complaining, and they need to shut the F up about complaining about their team because they're always in the playoffs. Now, this is a typical guy from Kansas City. He's from Kansas City. I understand he covers baseball. He might have lived in the Northeast at some point. There is a standard, and the Yankee fan is allowed to complain if they haven't won a World Series since 2009, since they are the Yankees. And they hadn't been to one, obviously, until last year. And then it was a terrible ending for them. They're allowed to be pissed off.
Okay, I side with Gio on this one, Seth, because Passan is doing the thing. Passan complaining about Yankee fans wanting World Series or bust is like me going outside and then turning to somebody and complaining about the humidity here in Houston. You know, like,
it's
just who they are. Like, what are you trying to do here?
It's who they are, but also I like that he went personal attack on that and said, oh, it's because he's a guy from Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, like, okay. It's
so much disgust.
It's and maybe he did later on. He should have gone with the angle, too, of like, okay, if you're assuming that Passan's a Chiefs fan, then it's awful easy to sit up and say, like, oh, you guys should be happy with what you have. Well, meanwhile, my football team is also winning a Super Bowl every other year. I could be petty towards everybody in this.
Yeah,
I would get petty towards Yankees fans for idiotically every single year forgetting that the regular season matters nothing for them. That's a team that they feast on bad pitching. They're the same as a football team that racks up really good stats in the regular season, but like falters in the playoffs because they're not complete.
That's
they
right.
have a bunch of really high priced superstars who cannot perform in the playoffs. And chief amongst them is the absolute best player in baseball right now.
Yep.
In Aaron Judge. You know what Aaron Judge is going to do in the playoffs this year?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yep.
Nothing.
That's right.
If they make the playoffs.
Be ready. Yeah. Be ready.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if they don't make the playoffs? Oh my God.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
God.
It'd be so awesome.
I wet my pants.
Oh.
I got a little. We might have to do a full week of just us listening to New York sports radio. The day the Yankees get eliminated from playoff contention.
From playoff contention.
Yeah,
that would be delightful. Good idea. All right.
Third highest payroll in baseball.
Third highest, yeah. All right, so this is this next one. Alex Cooper is the host of the Call Her Daddy podcast, founder of Unwell. She's one of the biggest podcast stars out there. She's got a huge following. She's
one of these extremely famous internet people that I barely am aware of.
That I better start to get to know these people.
I'm petty in general about the whole internet culture right now. You know what? I get so tired of somebody basically... There's an interview where Bill Murray was being interviewed by Joe Rogan and said that he didn't know, like, I didn't know what you looked like. You know, people have told me about you. And I don't know if he was joking or not, but the number of people that were like, oh, he doesn't know who Joe Rogan is. Yeah. How on earth do you not know? Yeah, that's the way the world is today, you idiots.
Yeah.
You're like, there's a lot of... Joe Rogan is the most successful podcaster out there. There's a huge portion of America that barely knows who he is. Yeah. That's just the way the world is today.
It's how it is. And Bill Murray's 90 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Bill Murray still has a landline. Like you can only get, you can only contact him by calling an answering machine somewhere. Yep.
So Alex Cooper, very famous in that world. She was invited to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at a Cubs game over the last few days here. So she's up in the booth with what looks to be two of her friends kind of playing the entourage behind her here.
That was the cringiest part about it is that so when we lay this out, she's saying, hey, you're about to see something. And it turns out like her two buddies just lazily dancing a kind of choreographed dance.
Picked her up at the end. And So take a listen to this. This is her rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And see if you can hear the boos in the background. She got booed furiously by Cub fans
the Cubbies were like winning handily at that point. An angry crowd,
and it sounds like she's maybe trying to impersonate Harry Carey's version of it as well, and I think Cubs fans got upset. Here it is.
All right, Daddy Gang and Cubs fans, are you ready? You've never seen something like this before. A one, a two, a three.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care. Never come back. So let's root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame.
You can hear it. You kind of hear it. They crushed her. They booed her.
Some cheers. Are there some Coopies in the crowd?
Maybe.
I assume that her followers are called Coopies.
Coopies.
She's
attractive. I will say she's attractive.
Well, you know what? No, but she's attractive. But in watching it, I hated her. I despised
it.
Yeah, me
too.
Like, you're trying so hard to do something here that's just, it's very, very cringy. Listening to it. It might have did something
like
for me.
It,
I don't know. Yeah. I rounded it out there in the second half.
At the end where she said, shame, like the way she said shame and game, I'm like, all right, she's kind of putting a little effort into it here. But the Harry Carey part was viewed as very disrespectful by Cub fans out there. Like
The problem with this is, and you're going to see more of this because her followers will have been heaping her with praise over the hilariously comedic performance that she gave.
Yep.
So, she's gotten nothing but positive support from her followers in the last 48 hours.
Headline on the U.S. Sun, Cooper left stunned by brutal crowd reaction to seventh inning stretch. Those are all the people that reacting that don't watch your podcast. They have no idea who the hell you are. You're just somebody who came in and peed all over the seventh inning stretch and made fun of Harry Carey in the process.
Was she really surprised that people booed her?
I'm just reading the headline here. She left stunned, according to this article.
Which publication said
that? The U.S. Sun, the Sun, the U.S. edition.
Incredible.
Left stunned. It is.
Her friends are the ones I really hate. I really hated her friends.
Sucked.
They're like, what are you? I know you're intentionally making a mockery of this, but you're failing at making a mockery of it. I've noticed this, Sean. I first noticed this with Cersei in Game of Thrones. That when I don't like a character enough, they'll an objectively pretty woman will start to look ugly to me.
Yeah.
Because by the end of Game of Thrones, like, I could not, like, Cersei disgusted me. I was like, I found there was nothing attractive about her.
Yep.
And I'm not just talking about the short haircut for that one season or two. Right. It was, yeah, she was just gross.
Yeah.
And that's how I was with Alex Cooper in that moment.
Yep.
I was like, you are, if I didn't know any better, yes, you're a very pretty woman, but right now I find you physically repulsive.
Does this help? Text her. She makes over $45 million a year.
God, she's hot.
Yeah.
Oh,
smoking hot, man. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and that's, again, I don't know if the texter is making a point or not. Yeah, I get it. She's super successful.
Yeah.
But I don't know her. Like, the same way, that's the way the world works now. There are some incredibly super successful people that I just don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't worry about it, okay?
Yep.
Your little internet world is not the same as everybody else's little internet
world. Correct. Yep. Absolutely.
I had somebody the other day, I saw, like, one of the Kelce Brothers podcast clips was out there, and I saw somebody in the replies say, "You guys got to give it up, and you're like, you just don't have a natural talent for this. You really got to stick to football." And the guy was actually trying to come across like he was giving real advice.
Yeah,
they've got like a top five podcast.
They got paid.
It's valued at over $100 million.
They got paid $100 million.
Yeah.
Like, this is not. Yeah, this is.
Stop imposing your preferences on 300 million people,
or feeling like that these podcasts need to be the perfection of broadcast school. You know, like that they're textbook type broadcast. They're not. They're just conversations.
Yeah.
All right, let's get petty one more time about this. Oral Hershiser.
I'm petty towards society today.
It's good petty cast. You called this yesterday. You said it's going to be a good petty cast. Here was Oral Hershiser on Friday, basically accusing the Astros of cheating again.
Hit hard to deep center field. Páez on the run. He'll turn and watch this one wedge itself in the bottom of the wall. And Cam Smith flying into second, anchoring there with another extra base hit for the Astros. Double homer double. To open third against Gasparias. I don't want to open an old wound, but in some ways, they're swinging at these breaking balls like they know when it's coming.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, no, I don't want to open up an old wound.
Yeah. Nerd.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Yeah. Open up an old wound. I just felt like
he's
getting
proof,
petty.
Guys, Oral Hershiser is proof positive, kids. If you're worried that you're too nerdy to be a sports star someday, don't worry. Oral Hershiser is one of the nerdiest people who ever lived.
Ever. There was another Dodger fan.
Wears a starched white dress shirt to bed.
There was a tie. There was a bow tie. There was another Dodger fan. I saw this video, and Seth, I'm kind of going into the same world we were in with Alex Cooper a moment ago. I don't know if this is somebody I'm supposed to know who they are. It's a Dodger fan who sounds like he sells gear and he does it over the internet. I have no idea if this is a famous person. He's clearly a diehard Dodger fan who was very put out that on the day that he was dropping some new Dodger, like Independence Day gear, that the Astros made the Dodgers their daddies again.
What a f***ing show that was. All I wanted to do was enjoy my 4th of July, watch some fireworks at Wifey, and f***ing Altuve from the f***ing Fantasy Island handed it to us. Anyway, I wanted to show off my new jersey drop and everything. And then I got these motherfuckers around behind me, f***ing with me.
The whole fan.
Anyway, let's try again tomorrow night, y'all.
Yep, didn't work.
Fireworks, let's go.
Didn't work tomorrow night, didn't work the next day after that. You lost all three games. The Fantasy Island crack was kind of funny.
It was, and he spliced in a little picture of Tattoo.
Yes.
So the first time I listened to that, I was like, so it's a white guy, I think.
It is.
And I thought he said wifey. I thought he said, I just want to watch some fireworks with white people.
And there aren't any here.
I thought it was going to take a much different turn.
I was like,
whoa, where the hell is this going?
They lose 18-1 and there's no white people here.
I mean, that's like, in my mind, I'm like, wait, he went to a Dodgers game hoping to be surrounded by white people.
Oh,
that's like going to anything in Houston hoping to be, like, that it's going to turn into a Klan rally or something. Like, no, it's an incredibly diverse place.
Yeah. You're like, that's you've like, come to the wrong place.
I just wanted to watch some fireworks with white people. I was like, isn't that what the forefathers wanted?
Is there any crime in that? What's the crime in wanting to watch fireworks with white
all
people?
All I want to do is go to a baseball game and watch some fireworks surrounded by white people. Sir, this is not Boston, okay? This is not Indianapolis or Kansas City. All right? You know, there will be diversity in this crowd.
Oh, my God. That was great. By the way, wifey.
His wife was super white, though.
White. Yeah, she was in there.
Very L.A. looking.
L.A. You know
that where white women in L.A. try real hard to all look exactly like all the other white women in
yes.
L.A. She had it going on. Yeah.
The use of the word wifey to describe your wife is on my list of things that annoy me.
Things you don't like?
I hate wifey.
Dude, okay.
All
right, this is the thing I stumbled into yesterday. I've been trying to post more on TikTok, and it's been devastating to my time management because that app is so freaking addictive.
Yeah.
So
really?
One of the newest trends on TikTok, Sean, is... I'm going to get petty on behalf of, I guess, these young women.
Yeah.
These guys just like being at a drive-thru order. It's a guy and his girlfriend sitting next to him. And what they're doing is it's his girlfriend, not his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, I'd like a quarter pounder of cheese and my wife's going to have a large fries and a Coke. And the girls like in all these clips are like their eyes light up. And then they get all emotional. They give their boyfriend a big hug, and they're like, what did you just say? And he's like, what? She's like, you called me your wife. Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I love you. And I'm like, dude, you gotta, if you're not like actually planning on locking that down, that is a messed up.
Yeah.
The only acceptable way to do that, if you're not planning on marrying her, is if you're planning on breaking up with her and you hate her.
And you hate her.
Like you really want to get back at her. So you're giving her one.
Or
diabolically cruel.
Or it's a relationship where it is strictly just about the physical part of the relationship. Like it's just a bleep buddy kind of thing, and you just decided to go get a burger afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know, but a lot of women that are in those types of relationships,
if
a guy all of a sudden calls you wifey, it's
risky.
Flips a switch.
Yeah, it's risky.
It's an interesting. I feel bad for the young women. I'm guessing 78% of whom in these videos aren't gonna end up marrying the guy.
Yeah,
like you can see, it's almost like it's like biological or physiological. It just like something clicks in them immediately.
Yeah.
They hear that like being referred to as somebody's wife.
Yeah,
and it's just. Their eyes just get wide and they get super emotional and everything.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
I'm going to try it with my wife today. I'm going to call her my... I don't know. It'd have to be the opposite. It's not going to go as well when you do it the opposite direction. The similar trend. Yeah. The guy's saying, my current wife. I'm here with my current wife. And then whatever I described about the female reaction with the wifey thing.
Opposite.
Exact opposite.
You kept the mustache.
That's right. Despite my wife's protestations.
Yeah, that's what made me think of this just now. When you brought up Randy, I'm like,
She's trying to clamp me down,
Sean. Control you, yeah.
Yeah. She's trying to... I'm a peacock. I need to fly.
That's it.
And she's trying to clip my wings.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Am I being a stooge for the NFL that I don't think this is that expensive? I will tell you what it is coming up next. People using the word wifey, this is a text, gives off the same cringy energy as parents who call their kids mommy and daddy. Did a sociological project on this subject, and over 95% of the people polled that use these words were from impoverished areas. Okay, well, that's rather interesting. Wifey and mommy and daddy. If you use that, apparently you live in an impoverished area.
I didn't know this day was going to turn towards Sean Pendergast attacking the underprivileged. Way to go, Sean.
I should have read the whole text.
Okay, you know what? I'd like to see the demographic data on Fur Baby. Because that has got to be that's some upper middle class nonsense right there.
Yeah.
That fur baby I do not like.
Nope.
Because if you call your pet your fur baby, there's a good chance that you've also you take your dog and put it in a shopping cart so its anus can sit all over the thing that I'm going to one day put my food in.
Put your produce on. Yeah.
Yeah. You need to bring your little fur baby everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
You put your dog on a chain in the backyard and you pet it once every 2 weeks.
That's what you do.
And that's the way we did it.
Back in my day.
You yell at it when it barks, and every now and then you go out and you pet him a little
bit. That's right. That's right.
All right.
So this is somewhat of a petty cast leftover. Jimmy Traina, who writes for SI.com, he does a lot of the kind of the pop culture crossover sports stuff. He had tweeted out that that he got his invoice from YouTube for the Sunday ticket.
It's
got
no.
a lot of people upset. Yeah,
that reminds me. Yeah, I got to check into that. Okay, go ahead.
He says, the correspondent says, "Hi, Jimmy Traina. We're reaching out to remind you that the upcoming renewal of your NFL Sunday Ticket membership for the 2025 regular season, which gives you access to your favorite team's out-of-market Sunday games, will renew on August 12th, 2025. Note, it can typically take up to 2 weeks for the charge to appear on your payment method statement. And you'll be charged $480 plus any applicable taxes that'll be included when the payment is charged. So $480 list plus whatever the taxes are where Jimmy Traina lives." And so Jimmy Traina was posting this, Seth, kind of aghast. I think the tone is like, it's like, wow, this is really expensive, $480 for Sunday ticket. And I'm not poo-pooing the dollar amount of $480 in a vacuum. That's a lot of money for anything. It's a lot, you know, I get that. I don't subscribe to it, so maybe I'm the wrong guy to comment on it. Is it weird that I think it's pretty badass you can get every NFL football game for under $500?
No, I totally am in that boat. I have a Sunday ticket, and I have for years. I used to get it for free. Somewhere along the way, that evaporated. But it used to be
as a player?
Players and former players would get it for free. But you had to like jump through 29 hoops to actually get it done. So it's a lot. It's a big price tag, but I use it heavily. And I really – I think right now, though – where people like Florio and others will get upset about how expensive it is, it does, it feels a little bit like back in the day when to buy a VHS tape, it was like $87.
To buy a movie. Kids?
Yeah.
The movie would be in the theaters, and then if we wanted to see it at home, you had to go
3 months later.
Three months later, you had to go to a video store, a local video store, and buy the movie for $79.99.
If you wanted to buy it, realistically what you would do is you would put some black tape, electrical tape, over the little hole in the VHS, and then you could dub it. But not that I would ever do something
no,
so
No, but people
scurrilous.
Did, yes.
Yes, yes. People just scoundrels they were. Yeah. So it was like, and I can remember as a young child thinking, this price point seems off. And I swear to God, it was probably when I was learning economics in sixth grade or something. I feel like the demand for buying these movies is high enough that they could probably make more money if they lower the price. And lo and behold, eventually they did.
Yeah.
I feel like the demand for Sunday ticket is probably a lot higher than they realize, but it's priced like an ultra premium thing.
Yeah.
And I pay for it because I use it and I definitely justify it for my job. I think it's weird that it's as high as it is.
Yeah.
I think it's a really cool service, but it's not like the technology is so advanced or anything that they could make more money and please more fans by lowering the price.
I had it back in the late 90s when you had to have DirecTV to get that. That actually wasn't all that long ago that you had to have DirecTV in order to get the Sunday ticket. That's only a few years ago where that partnership, the YouTube thing, just came together in the last few years. So the last time I had it was in like 1998. I don't remember what I paid for it back then. Like I said, I don't subscribe to it. I'm working every Sunday.
I, that's the whole thing from YouTube's perspective, though, too. I think they're hoping that it gets, you know, they get extra subscribers just to get it. So I have to have YouTube TV.
Yeah.
You know, but I also have to have whichever one. My wife handles all this. Fubo. To get Astros games out of market and everything. I feel like YouTube would get more subscribers pulled in because of the Sunday ticket if it was a realistic price point.
Because it is
awesome. It's awesome, man. When your local affiliate decides to play some game that you absolutely don't care about in the 3 p.m. slot, it's really nice to actually go watch the better game.
If I had to get pretend I'm not working on Sundays anymore. Excuse me. Pretend I'm not working, you know, game days anymore, and I'm home on Sundays now, and I want to watch NFL football, which I would do because I'm a fantasy player and I'm a gambler. Would I spend the $480 on the Sunday ticket, or would I just do Red Zone for free? And I think I would probably just do Red Zone for free. I think Red Zone bounces around to the necessary things. Unless I had a team that I had to watch all their games out of market, then I would get the Sunday ticket. And that's the other thing. I wonder if that's coming down the pipe too, Seth. Like if at some point the NFL offers a team-specific version of the Sunday ticket.
I think I know some people, certainly not somebody like me, because right. as we've pointed out, I'm no scoundrel. Some people might point out that YouTube TV hasn't figured out the use of VPNs as well as Major League Baseball has.
You wouldn't point that out.
And a VPN, I would never point this out, right. that a VPN is way cheaper than buying an NFL Sunday ticket.
Yeah.
And yet. So I don't know. I'm petty towards, let's see, today we've been petty towards all those people.
Yeah.
I'm petty towards YouTube TV and the NFL right now.
Okay.
I think that I'm feeling petty towards the world.
Hey, let me give you one more. As long as we're looking at, as long as I'm sitting here talking about other people's money, where do you come out on Deshaun Watson spending $1.3 million on his wedding band? You saw they got married last week.
No, I didn't see
that. They got married last Thursday. Oh. Yeah, they got married. He and Jilly tied the knot last Thursday. You followed Deshaun on Instagram, you couldn't avoid it. It was basically like watching a reality show on Instagram stories. According to TMZ, Deshaun Watson, iced out wedding band worth over $1 million. $1.3 million on his wedding band, which has several diamonds on it.
Feels like it's the equivalent of buying a prenup or having a prenup, I think, almost, except the opposite, or not having a prenup. You're like, okay, that money, the nice thing about it, a jewel-encrusted diamond wedding band is that even if you do get divorced, you can keep wearing it because it doesn't look like a normal wedding band. It just looks like some bling. Yeah, it looks like a diamond ring. So you can just switch it over to his right hand, and then you're off to the races.
Her engagement ring, according to this article on TMZ, was $2 million.
Whoa!
I can't imagine spending thousands on jewelry. It's just,
what was on Mario Williams? Remember Mario Williams' fiance was, he was trying to get his wedding ring or his engagement ring back from his ex-fiance? $785,000.
Yeah.
That's how much Mario paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deshaun should have consulted with Mario before he bought that ring.
$2 million. $2 million, and she was flashing it every time that camera came by on that Instagram story, man. That ring was getting more run than Deshaun was on the video.
How much is Deshaun making over per year? Well, let's see. What was his guarantee?
His 5 years, $230 million. $46 million a year. He's got two more years coming. Well, I say
$230 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
If he makes, if after taxes and whatever Ohio state,
agents,
state income taxes.
The Mulligetta tax. And everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's figure he gets $115 million out of that.
Yeah, half.
And let's say he just threw it all into relatively conservative investments.
Yeah.
And he's living off of like $4 million a year.
Because I think the thing we need to point out too, he's probably not getting many endorsements still, I would imagine.
Right,
you know,
he
lost his Nike contract. He lost that extra money too.
I would say, what was the old rule of thumb they used to try to tell you? Was it 2 months salary on your engagement ring? If he's conservatively making, like living off of 3 or 4% of the of his principal, then he's making $3 to $5 million a year. I approve of this expenditure as long as he's living under the $4 million per year.
Is that the rule? 2 months salary on an engagement?
I used to hear that in ads a lot. Oof. Yeah. It seemed pretty aggressive to me.
Oh, dude. You know, Amy should be pissed.
Yeah.
Not because I make a lot of money, because her ring is not as expensive as it should be. Like, you know.
You got to start in early on the, the non-materialistic argument for it about how love is what really matters.
That's
and a simple tattoo of a wedding band or something. Yeah. You know, at a cut rate, brand new tattoo shop.
I tried. For 8 years, I tried. And then finally, it's like, all right, screw it. We're getting engaged. All right.
We're not like these materialistic losers that want nice rings, right,
honey?
She's
not, actually. Like, Amy's not. Like, she's got nice things, but she's not flashing rings and jewelry on it. So she's fine, I think. I'll check. I'll text her after the segment's over.
The two things that young athletes are vulnerable to where they get hosed financially is, one, the wedding band or the engagement ring.
Yeah.
Because you're at a time in your life and you're making a lot of money and like you feel good and everything, and somebody talks you into spending $1 million on an engagement ring. Because you've got the money, why not?
Yep.
It's for love. The other is donating to your alma mater, because they are on you like leeches immediately as soon as you get drafted. Like, hey, how'd you like to contribute to that? Like, mother, just it happened to me, and I went to a school where I had to pay tuition. I didn't have a scholarship.
Right.
I had to pay back. I said, no, I have to pay back my school loans. Okay.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm doing with my signing
bonus. Exactly.
I'm not, I don't want a scholarship in my name. You sons of
Michael Scott in the office spent 3 years' salary on the engagement ring. God, I've been rewatching some of that. Man, that is such a good show. When they're having that argument at the dinner party episode, and he says, "You have no idea what three vasectomies can do to a man, babe." Oh man! All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So good. We spent Deshaun's money, or I don't even know if we approved of it. But Deshaun, just so you know, people, and I. Cleveland, they're none too happy with all the glitz and glamour of Deshaun's wedding being thrust in their face on social media.
He will not have to pay a single penny towards the new stadium, whereas the Cleveland fans themselves will.
Yeah.
Plus, Sean, you were out. Yeah. Sean, it was a great Payne and Pendergast moment.
One of
the things that they're using to fund the new stadium in Cleveland is the unclaimed property. The unclaimed property.
Oh!
So Bajani had never realized that you can go to your state's controller's office and search for unclaimed property.
Yeah,
so
man.
Yet again, we had dozens of fans, of listeners, tell us how much money they had found in unclaimed property.
That was a fun moment when we did that the first time. Did Bajani do it?
He did it. He didn't have any for himself, but he found some relatives that had unclaimed property.
Okay, are they around anymore? Can he just thieve it from them?
Can he forge the documents to get them?
They're not here.
I still have like $125 from a house I lived in 15 years ago.
It's
it was
wild.
An insurance rebate or something.
Yeah.
But I need proof that I lived there. And I'm like, I can't find any of the old leases or anything.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, I'm almost thinking like, I can't remember the name of the owner. I don't want to call her up and ask her if she has receipts
for $125.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
So it's claimittexas.gov.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Go claim your money, people.
Do it, man. I got $275 out of it. It was worth it.
I got like $400 back from Florida.
I got $275 and Amy did all the work. It was great.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
It's money that probably should go back to, depending on how long it goes back to your ex-wife or something.
No.
I'm going to call her up and tell her.
No, don't you dare.
Hey, Sean's ex-wife. Did you know that Sean recently came into some money?
I would love it if you called him. Hey, Sean's ex-wife.
It turns out it was money that he earned while he was married to you.
Yeah. Actually, none of it was. You know what it was?
I don't know what the legality is, Sean, so I'll call family court too.
Oh,
just
thanks.
To be sure, up in
Appreciate
Illinois.
That. Yeah. Appreciate it. And you'll hire Sammy as the lawyer just to really rub it in. You know what? A lot of it was like old FanDuel accounts and stuff like that. Old like daily fantasy accounts. And somehow I don't know how I lost track of that, but yeah, it was.
Mine's all from like defunct financial companies from the 1990s and 2000s. It's like, I got a $37 from Bear Stearns.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how I cashed this check.
I had some,
but sure.
Yeah. I had some life insurance policy that built cash value, which obviously I depleted it at some point because there was only like $102 left in it. So, yeah, good stuff.
That was a fun thing when my dad died because my dad was an interesting guy, as you know.
Yeah.
So I had to go back. I was the executor, so I had to go back and search to see if there were any life insurance policies or anything. And I was not expecting to find one. I found two.
No,
that
kidding.
Had been cashed out long ago.
Yeah.
But I was like, at one point in dad's life, he was like, I'm gonna do the responsible thing here.
It's a puzzle.
And take care of,
it's a puzzle. That's funny. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, because the Astros are so good, I know they weren't good last night, but at the top of the hour, how good do the experts think they are? We're gonna power rank the power rankings on baseball. But up next for the Astros, this might be a New York person, had a great name for these Astros because they're doing it with a bunch of nobodies. And what is the most impressive since when stat that an Astro has going right now? I'm going to run this by Seth Payne. We'll do that coming up next. Hey, Seth, real quick, someone said if you want to get your $125, see if your credit or driver's report, if you can get that, that's acceptable proof. Both of those will show your old address.
So, oh,
yeah.
So. Oh, like going back to, okay, cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
So. Thank you, listener.
Yeah. He also said you can split it with me. No, he didn't say that. But that would, if you see the guy, chip off a little, buy him a beer or something like that.
Yeah, no, and it's one of those things where I know in my brain rationally that it's, okay, it might take me 15 or 20 minutes to do this, which, to get that $125, that works out to $500 an hour that I'm working. Yeah. That's my rate, and for some reason I'm just too lazy to do it.
Or you think that your time is worth more than $500 an hour.
That's what I currently price it out.
That's what you charge people for legal advice. Yes.
Yes.
$500 an hour. Joel Sherman writes for the New York Post. This was funny. They played this on MLB TV earlier this week. Here's what this is the term he has coined for this version of the Houston Astros, the one that's getting it done with minor leaguers, journeymen, and duct tape.
Now I got to talk to the Seattle Mariners, who've made the playoffs one time since 2001, are the only of the 30 teams that has never made the World Series. They're about to let the zombie Astros win the division again because they haven't taken advantage.
The zombie Astros,
it is.
I like that.
It's that stage in the movie when it's not just it's the young people that become zombies.
Yes.
And you have to decide whether you're going to, kill your best friend or not.
Yep.
Because these guys are all young minor league players.
That's right.
Or just random pitchers like Colton Gordon. This is somebody who's trying to make sense of something you can't make sense of, which is the Astros winning all these games.
Yep.
And, I said, hey, this lineup last night is a good reason why you're going to have some games like this. You're going to drop some games to the Guardians and whatnot. And they say, well, yeah, but how can the same team beat a team like the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Well, partly it's that, for one of the big things is starting pitching.
Yeah.
That, like, yes, you're going to have some games where Colton Gordon puts in a really good performance versus a good team. But then you're also going to have games where Colton Gordon looks like a guy that's going to let up four earned runs against a stinky team like the Guardians. So I'm not so hooked on and married to this 13 series stretch of not losing a series. And I think there's going to be some disappointing losses along the way. The fact that they've been able to win as many games as they have with lineups that a lot of times, last night was an extreme version of a minor league lineup.
Yep.
But I think, they're going to beat some more good teams with lineups like that. That was a close game last night, but it's just, it doesn't make any rhyme or reason. Just know that they've gotten much better performances out of guys than you would expect on paper.
Yeah.
And they've done it with a whole bunch of injuries of guys that if they come back and play like themselves, like Jeremy Peña and Yordan Alvarez and Luis Garcia and Spencer Arrighetti, that's where it gets really exciting.
Yeah, the core guy, man, I wish Peña weren't hurt right now because all the guys I just listed in front of me here for this segment would be healthy. We could say, man, these are the guys that are fueling. And Peña has been fueling this thing. He's just missed the last week and a half or so, whenever it was the Cubs, I think, that beamed him in the ribs. I'll call them the since then stats for some of these guys, Seth. Like some of these Astros, if you're wondering why they're here, like I think by and large it's because these guys have been on just an absolute heater since, some for the last month, some for the last year in the case of Hunter Brown. Since moving to leadoff, Jeremy Peña is batting .354 with a .941 OPS. I mean, those are Yordan Alvarez OPS type numbers right there. Like that's with a .354 batting average to go along with it. That is incredibly impressive. And I guess my question would be, how sustainable do you think like these trends are with these guys? Like, I don't think Jeremy Peña is going to continue to hit .354, but I feel like there's a real thing with this leadoff spot with him.
I think there's a very real thing with that. I think continuing their play, Cam Smith.
Okay.
He's been very good for about a month or so.
I've got him since May 10th. That's when his batting average bottomed out. He was at .205. That's the lowest his batting average had been. He's hit .319 with an .832 OPS. Is that who he is, Cam
Smith? I think there's going to be some hiccups along
for
the way.
Sure.
I would expect just as a rookie that they're
going
to make adjustments.
Yeah.
He's going to have to adjust to them. But no, I feel like what was the date of his worst, his low point?
May 10th. So we're 2 months
we're
in.
We're looking
now.
At 2 months after that. Yeah. That's, I feel pretty solid about it.
I do too.
Jake Myers, I feel solid about.
I don't have Jake on the list. I should have put him on here. He's just, dare I say, Jake has just been kind of very consistent all year. You know, he's still batting around .300, if I'm not mistaken. Like he has weathered the storm that I was skeptical about. When I left him out of the circle of trust, he's weathered that storm.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, I feel more solid about Jake Meyers at his current level of performance than I do about Jeremy Pena being able to keep playing
super elite,
like one of the best three players in the league.
Yeah.
So I think that Pena's high bar is still much, much higher than Jake Meyers. But we have to see a sustained period of, man, how long can Pena keep this up? Is this for real? Because he's been playing like one of the his WAR when he got injured was in the top three of all baseball.
It was, and I hate the fact that he's going to be out for a while. He'll have been out. We don't know how long he will have been out by the time he comes back. A few weeks at least. It's a little like the Astros, me not wanting them to go on an All-Star break. Like Pena was red hot, and now he's, you know, is there any rust when he comes back? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the other guy that I'm concerned about now is Christian Walker, who's just been on a tear the last couple weeks, now on paternity leave. We've seen this before.
Yeah.
Bregman was big with this.
Yeah.
Sometimes guys get a baby bump.
Huge one in 2020. I think it was the year they won the World Series, he got one.
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken.
So, yeah, you have the kid, you come back, you look at life a little differently.
Yeah.
You got the whatever happens to you hormonally after childbirth where you can basically operate on less sleep and everything.
I think
it helps athletes out.
Yep.
There's something that triggers you, like the paternal instinct gets triggered to where you can work longer with less sleep and do more around the house and everything just trying to help out.
Yeah.
Let's hope Christian Walker is that type of guy.
The four pitchers that are on one right now, Hunter Brown since the end of May of last year is 18-7 with a 2.08 ERA and 244 strikeouts. Like, these are, I'm not gonna say Nolan Ryan type, like Nolan Ryan was a freak, but these are definitely like prime Justin Verlander numbers right here that he's doing right now. 18-7 with a 2 ERA. How about Framber? Framber was 1-4 on May 2nd. He's 8-0 with a 1.72 since then. Him not making the All-Star team bothers me. He's been great. 8-0 with a 1.72.
Josh Hader, 26. Is he 26 for 26 now in save opportunities?
Going back to the end of last year.
He's 26 for 26.
Yep, going back. He's 25 of them this year and the last one of the season last year. So he's 26 in a row. And then Brian Abreu. Since my very insulting tweet where I said he was the worst pitcher I'd ever seen with an ERA below 2.50, I said that on a Friday night when he loaded the bases and got in trouble and got out of it against the Angels. I was just a little nervous, and he'd lost the game two nights before that. Since my insulting tweet, he took it to heart. He's got 8 1/3 innings pitched, 2 hits, no runs, a walk, and 19. He's faced 29 batters and struck out 19 of them.
He did have to be rescued by Josh Hader on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So there was that. That was the one hiccup there in that, and that was as much of a matchup scenario as anything else.
Yep.
Abreu is so unhittable when he's dialed in.
Yeah.
And yet the same things that make him unhittable when he's dialed in scare the crap out of me when he's not dialed in. It's like, okay, he enters that territory of, I don't know where this ball is going or who it's going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Abreu deserves a little bit of credit for the win on Sunday because he took out a couple of good baseball players. He took out, the former Astros, Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah, Teoscar,
How did Kike Hernandez get hurt? I couldn't remember.
I don't know. I was in the air.
So my confidence level in guys being able to extend the way they've been playing right now, I think Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez, yes, those guys are at the top. Josh Hader, just because he's been so good, I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't quite as good, but still really good.
Same.
So I'll put him third. Jeremy Pena, I'll put after that, just because, again, kind of in the same boat as Hader.
So high.
I just right now can't expect him to play like one of the three best players in baseball for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Even if he continues playing really, really well.
Yeah.
And because of the injury situation, et cetera, et cetera. And then I guess Cam Smith would be at the bottom of the confidence level of this group of guys.
Of this group.
He's a rookie.
Yep. He's a rookie. Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. All right. Texter says, these are the Rudy T. Astros. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. Not a lot of these guys have been champions. That was 3 years ago. It's not that many guys still left from even just 3 years ago. But it's enough for the experts to finally give the Astros the shine that they deserve.
They're more like the Rudy from Notre Dame than the Rudy T.
Yes.
Astros.
Rudy Rudiger. Yes, they're the Rudy R. Astros. Are the experts a little too in on the Astros? Now, maybe after underestimating, are they overestimating a little
These
bit right
of,
now?
I'll tell you what.
We will get to it. We'll examine. We'll do that coming up next. Stay there.